This is an audio recording of the guided note on involving marginalized young people in the design of their own education, read by Digital Opportunity Trust Youth Lab member Kelvin Guoma. The guided note, part of a report entitled Education for Most Marginalized, Guidance for Governments on the Use of Digital Technologies in Education, funded by the UK's FSDO and World Bank. The full report is available at ict4.org.uk under a Creative Commons Attribute 4 CC BY license. This guidance note is titled Involving Marginalized Young People in the Design of Their Own Education. The guidance note has two main sections, a contextual introduction and then boxed set of five principal recommendations. The lead authors were Gavin Dykes, Janet Logmore, and Tim Unwin. The guidance note concludes with some examples and suggestions for further reading that are not included in this recording. The first section of this guidance note is titled Context. There is good evidence that students learn better when they are actively engaged in the learning process. Involving students more in their own learning is thus an integral part of a shift in pedagogy away from traditional, more didactic modes towards more constructivist theories of education and teaching practice. Like most change, this can be challenging. In many cultures, such a shift is often resisted because it is seen as undermining traditional model of authority, power, and knowledge sharing between generations. The extent to which children, young people, and indeed adults doing vocational course are involved in decision over the curriculum and their modes of learning varies hugely between and within different countries. Ultimately, decisions about learners' voices require careful and challenging balance to be made. To what extent should students be active agents in organizing, directing, and implementing their own learning? However, how much are students simply viewed as teaching recipients? How well is each student understood? Do those who administer education and teach take account of the daily challenges each student might face? Is the balance between the influence of central government agendas, school leaders and teachers' influence, parents' influence, and the influence of the students themselves optimal? The most important reason why it is important to engage students in their own learning process include: learning outcomes are generally improved. Young people take more interest in their learning if they have invested time and effort in helping to design it. Involving young learners enhances their sense of responsibility. And teachers and facilitators can learn much from their pupils and students and thus improve their teaching strategies and skills. There are many examples of good practice in the involvement of learners in the education process, but almost all of these are based within schools or tertiary institutions. Most educationalists and government officials have little real experience of the lives of the poorest and most marginalized children and adolescents not in school, and are therefore ill-placed to design educational systems and learning opportunities best suited to their needs. This is particularly so when digital technology solutions are designed for rather than with marginalized people and communities. Hence, it is always very important to involve young people who have never been to school in designing curricula, content, and the digital systems used to interact with the learning resources intended to educate and support them. The Ezequiela Alternative Learning System, ALS, designed in the mid-2000s in the Philippines, was one example. Though, where out-of-school youth were explicitly asked about their learning aspiration as an integral part of the design process. Digital technologies can themselves also be used to help inform teachers and administrators about the varying ways through which different children learn most effectively. But all of this raises fundamentally challenging ethical questions. China has thus been at the forefront in use of the latest technologies, and especially AI, to track what children are doing while they are learning in the real time, thereby enabling teachers to intervene more appropriately and precisely to help each child improve their learning outcomes. However, these are passive means of learning from children and seem unlikely to have the positive cognitive impact of actually engaging with children in their thinking about and experience of learning. We now come to the five main guidance points of this note, which are presented in a boxed format. The following five principles, which are in a list form, are essential for government who wish to create education systems that engage effectively with the learners from which they are intended. The first is all aspects of digital learning, including platforms, access, and content, should be designed with rather than for young people. Particular attention should be paid to the need and insight of the most marginalized. The second is the government. Government should design specific programs to develop learners' voice, contributions, and responsibility as a continual process, not only with schools, but also in informal learning settings. The third is young people learn much from each other. Hence, they should be encouraged to work in teams when using digital technologies to encourage mutual assistance, support, and responsibility. The fourth is that it is essential to have a resilient system in place that encourage and support peer-to-peer learning and collaboration, especially during times of crisis. Online learning can be a lonely process, and many young people find it difficult to complete online learning by themselves. The fifth is that partnership that involves civil society can help bridge the gap between government priorities, private sector approaches, community and needs and interests of young people. Great care should also always be involved in safeguarding young people involved in such initiatives.